السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه، ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا مولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: واعتصموا بحبل الله جميعا ولا تفرقوا واذكروا نعمة الله عليكم إذ كنتم أعداء فألف بين قلوبكم فأصبحتم بنعمته إخوانا وكنتم على شفا حفرة من النار فأنقذكم منها كذلك يبين الله لكم آياته لعلكم تهتدون. وقال تبارك وتعالى: يا أيها الناس إنا خلقناكم من ذكر وأنثى وجعلناكم شعوبا وقبائل لتعارفوا. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والتسليم. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين. الحمد لله رب العالمين. My most beloved ulama ikram, elders and brothers, all praises due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is our creator, our nourisher, sustainer and provider, whom we are totally dependent on. We cannot breathe in or out, we cannot take a step, we cannot do anything if it is not the ability that Allah grants us. He is our creator, our sustainer, our nourisher, provider, whom we are totally dependent on. Peace and salutations be upon our master, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is only through the grace and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has created human beings, and He has made us to be from amongst the human beings. Allah has many creations in this world. He has animals, and there's mountains, and there's plants. And like that, there's different creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and all are beautiful and are marvelous in their own right, in their own ways. And if you analyze each one of these creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it ought to take us closer to the Creator. When you admire the painting, you see a painting, a beautiful painting, and you say, MashaAllah, what a beautiful painting this is. You're actually admiring the one that has designed, or the drawer, or the painter, the one who has put up the picture. So like that, when we admire the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it actually should take us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah mentions in the Quran, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتِ. That in the creation of the skies and the earth, there are signs for people of intelligence. When they will look at the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will take them closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Amongst the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is this human being. And Allah Himself has mentioned that He has created mankind fi ahsani taqwim, in the best of all forms. In Arabic, they refer to the human beings as ashraful makhluqat. Makhluqat are all the creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the most honored, the best creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the human being. And all of us sitting, alhamdulillah, listening to the talk today, are in this category of being the ashraful makhluqat, the best of all creations, and that is human beings. Allah could have made us another creation. He made us human beings. We need to be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Although it was a desire, we find when we read the books from the pious people of the past, they had this desire because of the level of taqwa and the fear they had of accountability in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They should desire how we wish we were just a blade of grass, or I wish it was a bird, just flying, no worries. Because of the fear and the great level of consciousness that they had about answering to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for their life. So against that background, they had that type of fear and concern. But nevertheless, we have to be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has made us ashraful makhluqat, the best of all creation, the human beings. Now if we analyze and look at the life of human beings, they're always interacting with people and other human beings. And there ought to be differences because of the nature of how Allah has created us. Human beings would differ. And they would differ on day-to-day things, matters which we are all every day used to. And it's important for us to understand, as part of being human beings, it is normal and natural for people to have differences and to differ with others in certain issues. Not necessarily that because we are all human beings, we all have to agree and all have to like the same thing or dislike the same thing. We would differ. In your home, you have a wife, and she perhaps only likes dal, right? And husband, he likes his kebabs and meat. And the son, he likes his pasta and his pizza. So they have their own likings. When you want to put furniture or you know, put curtaining in your house, you ask the wife what color curtaining she wants. You say, I want bright red. Ask the husband, he says he wants bright blue. Totally different. It's the personal liking of an individual. It does not mean now, because I like to eat chicken and you like to eat vegetable, now I must force my chicken down your throat. Important thing is to understand that differences will happen, and it happens in day-to-day issues as well. In a business environment, you have an employer, he has a certain idea, his mind is focused in a certain way, his opinion is certain things in certain ways, maybe it's to the left. Ask the employee, his opinion is totally opposite, towards the right. East and West, differences. But these are part of being human beings that you would differ. How will now the employer and employee, will they begin to now fight with each another? The husband and wife, must they start having a big quarrel with each other because of the likings being different from one another? No. Another example we can look at is, if you have a sickness, and you go to a doctor, specialist, expert, went through all the causes and lots of years of experience, he gives you a certain opinion, I think we have this type of sickness, and a diagnosis is given accordingly and give you some prescription. It happens all the time. Same patient, same problem, goes to Dr. B. Dr. B also, mashallah, well experienced, many, many years of experience and expertise, he gives opinion B. Happens all the time. Opinion A, opinion B. Two people seeing the exact same patient but reaching different conclusions. As long as they have exercised their experience, they have went through the procedure, they are qualified, they use their intelligence and skills that Allah has granted them, and they are entitled to their opinion and the outcome that they have reached. But my point is, there is differences that happen in all our everyday life. It happens all the time, and it's natural for that to happen. The key and important point of my discussion for today is learning to live and tolerate. One of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah has 99 names, beautiful names. Alhamdulillah, we should try and learn it as well. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah has 99 names. Man ahsaha dakhala al-jannah. Person who will memorize it will enter Jannah. But it's important for us not to just read those names of Allah for the sake of reading, but understanding what is the deeper meaning of each one of these. So one of the names and qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Halim. Allah is the most tolerant. Not just tolerant, He's the most tolerant. And Allah has created this human being, and He's created them into different groupings. And you'll find somebody now who comes from this side of the river, and somebody else comes from the other side of the river. That is how Allah has created people. Certain color skin, different color skin. And you eat certain type of food. That's the nature of human beings and the world that we live. People have difference. They live in different places. They have different families that they come from, different villages they come from. They will have different types of sort of cultures and ways that things operate in their families or in their circles. Even within yourself, you will have certain ways that you do certain things. But always you come back and reflect on the quality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is Halim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most tolerant. The important thing is for us to appreciate that the differences of opinion in certain matters are something that actually should be, you know, there's beauty in diversity. In diversity, there's beauty as well. There's a beauty in that. It's not that now you must try and we must try and force down our opinion on other people's throat because it comes from a different area. Your wife and husband, different scenarios. I just gave a few scenarios and painted a few pictures in front of you. Now each one of us should learn how to tolerate the others and live within that differences. In Arabic they say that's ikhtilaf. There's differences. They will happen. It should not lead and not take us to the level of khilaf. Where khilaf, it becomes now a point of where you become on the border of hating one another. And the beauty is all of us have many, many commonalities. Many, many things we share which are common features in each one of us. We have to sort of home in, if you say, like a laser. You know, they say a laser is a light that is made up of a million sort of tiny lights. They all come together, and this light comes and it zones in, and that's how that light now, which gets the effect, it becomes so powerful that it's able to cut through steel even. It's light that is all collected together, force pressure has come together and put that light together. It has become so powerful that it's able to cut through steel. In the same way, we as the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, We have so much of things in common. We have so much of things in common, would ought to have been the bondage, you know, the glue, the adhesive that's supposed to be sticking us together. And we should sort of focus on those common things that we share. And let us live in that way with unity. And those differences, if we sort of give those things impetus and importance and we focus on that, what's happening, the end result is we are just fragmenting. We come into more divided particles. And what's the end result? Simple. If somebody wants the enemy, the easiest way, they say in English, to divide and to rule. So because of the differences and the divisions that has come upon the Muslim Ummah, there is no more unity that exists. And now it's easy now for the enemy to just devour us. Which part of the world we don't see the Muslims under attack? We have to focus on many of the commonalities. And I recited the verse of the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us. He says, وَاَعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ وَاَعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. That all of you, all of us, addressing us. The Quran is for us. He says, hold on, stick. وَاَعْتَصِمُوا. Use this as your glue to bond you. The rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. And do not become fragmented. Do not become divided. And then Allah reminds us. Now in a time of Jahiliyyah, وَذْكُرُوا إِذْ كُنْتُمْ أَعْدَاءً. In a time of Jahiliyyah, tribes used to fight with each and other over petty issues. And it sounds so petty if we say it in front. Perhaps today we got a modernized version of pettiness on reasons and grounds for us becoming sort of enemies to each another. That time they were fighting because family A had animals, family B also had animals. Family A took their animals first to the watering hole. And why you took your animals before my animals? Khalas, for the next 30, 40 years, a big war is fought. People are killed, bloodshed. Sounds very trivial. So silly, we will say. Maybe in our terms, you're so stupid these people are. This type of jahiliyyah. That's why it was known as a period of jahiliyyah, period of ignorance. Ignorance, people are in darkness. So Allah reminds us, إِذْ كُنْتُمْ أَعْدَاءً. People were doing, they were burying the daughters alive. They were drowning in ignorance. Imagine taking a child that's perfectly nothing wrong with that child, digging a hole because the gender is not a gender that you like, so you take that child and you bury that child. What's happening? It's not something that is made up. The books of Seerah, Hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Quran speaks about it. وَإِذَا الْمَوْءُودَةُ سُئِلَتْ. When the child will be asked, بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ. What sin the child did that you had to kill the child because of just being a female? That was the practice of the people of Jahiliyyah. And they were fighting wars, and they had so much of differences. And my tribe over your tribe, it was all those tribalism and preferences. Allah reminds us, He says, كُنْتُمْ أَعْدَاءً. You were enemies to one another. فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came, and He got rid of all of this. And He united everybody on one common platform. And that's the principle we need to sort of digest and take away from today's discussion. We have lots of things in common. There ought to be the points of focus for us to focus on unity. And most important thing, we all recite the same kalima. We believe in one Allah. We have one Quran. We believe in one Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam as the final Nabi. Common. فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ. Allah then united us, caused us to become united. فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ بِنِعْمَتِهِ إِخْوَانًا. And then Allah made us brothers. The Sahaba used to live with each another thereafter when Allah's Nabi Sallam brought deen to them. Then they became like brothers. So close to each another, sacrificed everything. Even though they themselves were in need. وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصًا. They went out of their way. You know, we hear about the quality of ikram. We as Muslims ought to have the quality of ikram. Ikram, honoring others. Honoring others, the ulama explain, is not just fulfilling other people's rights. It is learning what are the rights of others. Learning. We need to learn and know what are the rights of others. We need to know what's your own rights as well. But the quality of ikram demands that a Muslim will go out of his way to ensure, he will go out of his way to ensure that he's fulfilling the rights of others. And he will sacrifice his own rights. You go out of your way to ensure, to make sure you fulfill the other person's rights. even though you yourself have great amount of need, وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصًا. They gave preference to others, even though they themselves were in need. That is what happened. What changed from where they were to where they became. Coming back to the context of our current age, how much of differences are there really that we ought to come to the extent or that we can sort of analyze it and we have to sort of quantify it and really put it into black and white. Why are you fighting with that individual? Why you have a difference of opinion or have an argument with that person? Now for the rest of your life you have become as though you are enemies to one another, whether it's your neighbor, whether it's a brother, whether it's a fellow musalli in the masjid. It's something that is a modified version of what happened in the time of Jahiliyyah. Pettiness. Common things should have been the focus of uniting us. And differences of opinion should be something we tolerate. We live in harmony and not force down our opinion and down the throats of others. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam dispatched a group of Sahaba to a place called Banu Qurayza. It's a famous incident, but it's important for us to sort of reflect on these lessons so that we learn the importance of unity and appreciating and tolerating the views of others. And he dispatched this group, the Sahaba Ikram, all of them to Banu Qurayza, and he said to them that perform your Asr Salah at Banu Qurayza. Perform your Asr Salah at Banu Qurayza. So the Sahaba heard the instruction of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and along they started going now, they undertook their journey. Along the way, it started getting late now into Asr time, is coming close to Maghrib. So the Sahaba amongst them started having a discussion. Shall we stop, perform our Asr Salah, or shall we proceed? Perhaps we might reach the destination late after sunset. Our Asr Salah is going to become a Qadha. What should we do? So one group of Sahaba, the entire group of Sahaba heard the instruction of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which was perform your Salah at that destination, at Banu Qurayza. But one group interpreted the words of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, saying that perhaps Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam anticipated, he expected that we would reach there before sunset, and therefore he told us to read our Asr Salah there. And unfortunately, due to some delay on our side, we haven't reached there, so now we're not going to reach there before time. We'll stop and perform our Asr Salah, and they stopped and did that. The other group said, well, the words of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, clear, perform your Asr Salah there. We will just follow the words and perform our Salah at the destination, and they perform their Salah. According to some interpretations, they only perform their Salah after sunset at the destination. In other words, it became late. Now the beauty of this incident is when they come back to Rasulullah. Also part of the beauty for us to analyze, they were discussing. They were qualified people, they were discussing. There was no point of them coming to a fuss and arguments, forcing down the opinion of one over the other. They reached the destination. What they did, when they came back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he heard what had transpired, he said something to this effect, kilakuma ala khair. Both of you have done excellent. What you both have done is good. What you have done is correct. What you have done also is correct. Appreciated and tolerated the differences that happen. And also, while I'm on this point, something comes to my mind as well. Alhamdulillah, we find many people come to this layman. They perhaps, the thought comes to their mind that how come now we have one Quran and one Hadith? Now why we have four different madhahib? We have the Hanafi madhab and the Maliki madhab and this madhab. It's important for us to appreciate that, as again, it's beauty. These people, these imams, were experts in the field. They had the necessary qualifications. They looked at one, there's no different Quran, there's no different Hadith. They looked at the same Quran and the same Hadith. It's a matter of interpretation. And therefore they came to different conclusions based on the proper route that they had followed. None of us sitting here have that type of expertise, hence we rely on the expertise that they had. If you are sick, you don't go into your own cupboard and come to your own conclusions about diagnosing yourself, you go to the expert. So mashallah, alhamdulillah, Allah has bestowed this ummah with great scholars. And these a'imma interpreted the Quran and the Hadith and they come to a conclusion. It's important for us now to appreciate in our communities. You might have some people who are Shafi'i madhab, somebody who may be Hanafi madhab, like that. That's another example of ikhtilaf. Somebody may be lifting their hands, whatever, different thing. If, as long as they are basing their opinion, or they are following the true imams, whatever is the school of thought that has been accepted, then alhamdulillah, we'll appreciate it. Not to go to the extent of becoming enemies unto one another. So coming back to the point, We have many, many things that are common. And many of those things we ought to focus on and use that as reasons for uniting the ummah. It is cause for us to come together. These are grounds for us to understand and appreciate the beauty that we have in our deen. Allah has united us. And these differences that exist, we should not force down our opinion on others, nor go take us to the extent where we begin to hate each another and begin to slander each another and begin to go to the extent of even sometimes making ghibat of others, backbiting and carrying tales. That is dangerous. All the goodness that we've done actually goes down if we take our discussion to those levels. So we make dua, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq and the ability of appreciating the many commonalities we had, appreciating the unity that as Muslims, ummah, we need to have. And we might think now, how can I unite the entire ummah? We can't unite the entire ummah. It has to start with ourselves. You cannot sort of think about changing the whole world. I perhaps mentioned this before, but it comes to my mind now as well. This person who sat down one day and he said, man, I want to change the whole world. There's too much of problems in the whole world. I need to change the whole world. And then when he thought to himself, how am I going to change the whole world? It's impossible to change the whole world. There's too many people in the world. There's different continents and different countries. I can't do it. So then he thought to himself, maybe I can change my continent. I'll change Africa. Then he looked at Africa, Nigeria, Somalia. He said, that's not possible as well. Too many countries in Africa. He said, okay, let me change my country. He looked at South Africa. He said, there's 9 provinces in South Africa. What about the different languages? Cape province, this province. Too many people to change. I can't change all the people. All right, let me change KwaZulu-Natal. Same problem. How am I going to go to Newcastle, Dundee, St. Lucia, different places of KwaZulu-Natal? Chalo, I can't do that. Let me change my town. When he saw Durban, and he says, well, I'm going to go to Palok and Effingham and Amlazi and too many places, too many people. Say, okay, let me change my whole family. I want to change my brothers and my sisters and this, uncles and aunts. Change all of them. All of them are corrupt and they have big problems in their lives. I'm going to change all of them and sort them out. He thought that's also not possible. He came to the conclusion, the only person I can change and whose frame of mind I have control over is my own self. I can change myself. I can sort of have a different focus. And inshallah, if I change myself, then my family around me will also change. They'll have a different attitude and mentality. And inshallah, in that way, my family will change and my community will change. And inshallah, the entire world will change. Point being, it starts from us. Let us look into our own lives, the own faults that we have, and try and make rectification. Try and fix those things. Inshallah, it will all work towards enhancing and work towards developing and coming to the level of where we want everybody, inshallah, to be on one united front. In as far as different aspects, we have many, many commonalities. We don't have time to go into all those details, but if you scrutinize it, there are many things that unite us. There are many commonalities we have in our lives that we can focus on, and inshallah, those things that have differences, that elements that sort of separate us, inshallah, those things we will have the quality of tolerance for one another. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unite and grant us these qualities of unity in our families. May Allah grant unity in our communities. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unite the entire Muslim ummah. And into akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.